All right, so today we're in Psalm 1. I titled this A Promise of Blessing, just giving it a title. We're not going to be looking at the whole psalm. We'll be looking at a few verses. Not sure if these are going to be super big with the technology challenges, but we'll try to work through it. So I'll just start by reading the entire psalm, and then we'll kind of get into it. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the Lord, is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that is the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Basically, just studying the psalm, I kind of saw that it looked like it was broken up into about three different sections. The first of which we're going to be looking at today, I just called that the promise of blessing. If the Lord wills and there's an opportunity in the future, hopefully we'll be able to get to the promise of fruitfulness, which is verses 3 and 4, and a promise of the eternity that we get to enjoy in verses 5 and 6. Just starting in the very beginning of the very first verse, blessed. When you think of someone who's blessed or blessed, you think of someone who is a recipient of the blessing. And therefore, that has to imply that there is someone who is blessing them. So we see right out of the gate that this is an ode to the Lord and what he is doing. This is all about him. See that James 1, 17 and 18 says that that blesser is God. Verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift," that would be a blessing, "is from above, coming down from the Father of lights." That would be the blesser. "With whom there is no variation or shifting shadow due to change." Verse 18 says, "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." That would be us, that we are the blessed. 2 Chronicles 16:9 also says the same. This is one of my favorite verses. I learned this verse as a little kid. "For the eyes of the Lord, the blesser, run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support, blessing, to those whose heart is blameless towards him." That's the blessed. Scripture is replete with this. I mean, you could literally come up with thousands of examples of this exactly, just following this exact pattern. There will be a few of these that we'll see in here, but right here in Psalm 1, we don't have to do a lot of inference just to see that that's already the case. Blessed is the man. Blessed in Hebrew is Esher, which means happy, fulfilled, and safe. And we see that those are also attributes of God. Psalm 46, 1 through 3 says these are blessings from him. Verse 1, "God, the blesser, is our," the blessed, "refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble," the blessing. "Therefore, we do not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling," which are also blessings. And of course, it ends in Selah. Just an opportunity to meditate on that. Kind of added a couple little notes here just because there are a few things that, first of all, blessed is the man who does not. Three of them that are itemized right here in Psalm 1. Who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Notice, first of all, just like we were talking about at the beginning, blessed is the man. That's the positive. That's, you know, a wonderful thing. That's what we gain out of this. But there is also a negative that follows. Mr. Marks actually talked a lot about this through Ephesians, saying, you know, contrasting it. These are what you are not marks of you as a believer, as one of God's holy chosen ones. The three things that are negative: acting like and keeping company with wicked, sinners, and scoffers. I also remember this verse when I was a kid and thinking, "Nor stands in the way of sinners." I was like, what does that even I didn't understand as a little kid what that meant. I was like, stands in the way of them? Like, are you, I don't know, stands like a center stands? Is there a specific way they stand or something? I don't know what that means. But obviously, you know, in fact, I've even been given really, I don't know, imagery that just kept coming to mind as I was preparing this was, you know, stands in the way of sinners. You know, I personally, I've been thinking of a lot of the riots going on and, you know, a lot of the protesting that like spill over into riots. You've got a mob of people, you know, do you really want to be standing in the way that they're standing? Their posture is violent. It is aggressive. It is destructive. It is tearing down. None of that is the marks of what, you know, scripture tells us to be about as believers. Follows it up with a positive, though. It says in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So if you put all this together, you can see when you put the positive together, you get, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. You could even take a contrast there, which is what some of the people we were just talking about. Cursed is the man who walks in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of the sinners, or sits in the seat of the scoffers, none of which should describe us in the slightest. I also was reminded also how Mr. Marcus talked a lot and throughout our walk through Ephesians about the word itself, walk. You see that blessed is the man who walks not. Well, in Ephesians, if you remember the last time that I did a devotion, I talked about the recurring number 7. This was not one of the 7s that I talked about, and this was in no way planned by, you know, my little pea brain about, you know, correlating these two. But the Lord, you know, pulled this out and was, you know, reminded me of, oh, there are 7 times that walking is actually talked about in the book of Ephesians. Just like blessed is the man who walks not, there are also positive and negative examples of how we should walk from the book of Ephesians. So yet again, we get to that number of completeness. And so we'll look at those real quick too and how they correlate here. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 talks about the walk of a sinner. And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. You'll notice here, I just kind of made some color coordination here. You can see all the negativity that follows through it. These are the marks of not being a believer. The next one I'm just described as the walk of good works. Verses 8 through 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and we should walk in them. Again, here, just some simple color coordination. You can see all the blues that kind of follow. And just like we were talking about, blessed, receiving a blessing, you see that right here in this verse as well. It is a gift of God. That is a blessing. Of who? God. He is our blesser. We are his workmanship. We are his blessed. So this is still consistent right there with Psalm 1. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 talks about our walk of our calling. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Again, lots of positive talks about the marks of a believer and how we will positively walk as believers for the Lord, for eternity, for his sake. Again, you see the same pattern following. A manner worthy of the calling. That's a blessing that we receive. And actually, before that, I skipped over it. Urge you, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's who Paul is writing this to. It says, urge you. That's the blessed. The worthy of your calling, the blessing to which you have been called. Who were you called by? The blesser. Same pattern in Psalm 1, following just consistent all the way through Ephesians. Every time walk is mentioned. You see another bit of the negative way. Don't walk in this path. Don't do all of this. And you see in later on in chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, it's a walk of ignorance of God. Verse 17 says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and they have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to every practice and every kind of impurity." Obviously, there's a lot of negativity in that, a lot of "do not walk in this way." None of those are marks of you as the blessed. You move on to chapter 5, see verses 1 and 2. It's a walk of love in Christ. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Again, we see all three attributes again. Blesser, the blessed, receiving the blessing. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." That's the blessed. "Walk in love as Christ, the blesser, loved us and gave himself up for us," the blessing. This is by far the longest passage, but very much on point. So walk as children of the right and true light. We see in chapter 5, verses 5 through 14. "For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with their empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one point you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed to light, or by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you.'" There's definitely a lot in there that you could argue is negative. But again, if you're just focusing, it doesn't matter. These are all my notes. So none of this is, you know, blessed sanctified markings or anything. But when you look at the walk, you see walk as children of light. Looking a little bit further in chapter 5, 15 through 17. This is the last one, is a walk of wisdom. "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil." I think we can relate to that. "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So again, you see, carefully walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Well, you know, you could go like, well, wise, is that really, you know, is that really a mark of the blessed? Yes. As the wisdom of the Lord, that is the origination of all of our wisdom. That is the only way we ever came into relationship with him. That is the only way we ever did a single thing that was ever good. We don't even have to put air quotes on that anymore, because it is good, because it is from the Lord, by his hand, and for his glory. "Making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will," that's the blessing of the Lord, "of the Lord," the blesser, "is." So you have all three elements in every one of these passages throughout Ephesians. There they are, just one last time, if anyone was taking notes. This really, really, really spoke to me, though, very powerfully. A lot of times it's considered like a preface to the Psalms, the opening to the Psalms. It's a good overview of like what you're about to see throughout the Psalms. And even just here in these first two verses, we can see everything that we have as believers, every reason that we ever have to believe in virtually anything good, because we have someone who blesses us. We have the blessing that we receive, and we have the opportunity and the ultimate, you know, blessing of being in relationship with the Lord and being the blessing, or being the blessed, as a body of Christ. So I think in that, you know, in that vein, I guess that's how we can approach the Lord. That's how we can approach the, you know, the blesser. That's how we can seek him and call out to him in our time of prayer this morning.